Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and don't stand just yet. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. How many of you love the Word of God? I preach from Luke this morning, and I'm going to preach from Luke again tonight. Luke chapter 5. When you leave tonight, stop by my table in the foyer area. I've got my testimony in book form as well as DVD and CD. And if you've got any family members that are not serving the Lord will use that testimony of God delivering me from drugs and alcohol and death to help bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it seems to me that there is a group of people in the church today that by the looks of things, they have a ministry of sucking smiles off of people's faces. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If they see that you've got a spring in your step and a sparkle in your eye, their first thought is, if you'll stand still for about 5 minutes, I believe I can suck that smile right off of your face. They have a testimony that belongs on Hee Haw. Do you remember that? Any of you remember? These young people have no idea what I'm talking about. Hee Haw. You're that young, Jessica? You don't even remember Hee Haw? Okay, here was a song from Hee Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Have you ever heard that? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Any of you know people like that? You know what? I'm going to tell you. I dodge them like the plague. I do. Because I have figured out they do not really want help. There are people that do not want God to heal their body because if he did, they wouldn't have anything to complain and bellyache about anymore. Oh my. I believe we'll stop right there for just a moment. There are people that do not want God to get them out of their financial difficulty because if he did, they wouldn't have anything left to complain about anymore. Every time you see them in church, they are complaining and bellyaching. I barely made it in here, and I don't know if I'm going to make it another day, and oh, it's just been so tough on me, you know. Well, look right up here at me. It's been tough on everybody serving the Lord faithfully. It has, it has. And you stubbed your toe and sneezed twice and coughed, and you can't serve God faithfully? Hogwash. I found out there's one sermon in the Bible. It's very simple theology. It goes like this, serve God or don't. That's it. What if I get sick? Serve God or don't. What if God heals my body? Serve God or don't. What if I die broke while you're alive? Serve God or don't. What if everything in my life that can go wrong will go wrong? Serve God or don't. Amen. You know, I want to say one other thing about my preaching this morning. Yeah, how many of you were here this morning? Raise your hand if you were. I want to apologize with regard to my preaching this morning. If I was too light or frivolous in anything that I said when I said it, I apologize for that because I believe it's stronger this evening than I did this morning whenever I preached it. Many times I wonder what we would do with the Apostle Paul if he were here preaching revivals. You know what he did? The Apostle Paul called denominations and individuals by name and said, this one's of the devil. This one's no good. This one's rotten. Stay away from this one. I'm afraid that some of the people in our churches today would come hear the Apostle Paul preach one revival service and they would leave saying, oh, I'm not going to come back and hear him anymore. He doesn't have a very kind spirit. Well, the old boy wrote more than half of the New Testament. I believe he was pretty well plugged into the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm afraid that much of the love gospel that I hear preached from behind the pulpit today, in many cases, it's just a cover-up for sin in that preacher's life. It's like this, don't judge me and I won't judge you. Leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. Don't offend me and I won't offend you. Don't look too closely at my life and I won't look too closely at your life. The truth is, you have every right to look very closely at my life and search my life under a microscope. You do, and guess what? Guess what? Listen, no demon spirit made me do anything. I hear some of these big-name preachers that get caught in sin, and they'll say, the reason why I fell into sin is because I'm doing so much for God that the devil attacked me more than it does other people. Really? My Bible says if I sin, it's because I want to. And because I'm drawn away by my own lust and I'm enticed by my own flesh. None of this Flip Wilson theology that says the devil made me do it. And you're not, a lot of you, most of you are not going to know who that is either, but some of you do. All right, Luke chapter 5, before we get ourselves in trouble here. Stand with me in reverence to God for the reading of our text. Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. Luke chapter 5, verses 36 through 39. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he say, the old is better. I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Remain standing and bow with me for a word of prayer. Holy Ghost, do your work and have your way and accomplish what needs to be done in every area of everybody's life that makes up Lake Village Assembly and those that are visiting tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thinking you may be seated. You know, I love to preach on the subject of the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Holy Ghost should have preeminence in the church. Because when the Holy Ghost has preeminence in the church, then Christ will be lifted up. And that's what we all came to do, is to lift up the holy name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? You know, and as I preach on the subject of the Holy Ghost, I cannot help but be reminded of this little old Irish lady that reluctantly joined this dead church because it was the only church in town. And after a few services, she joined the church, and the pastor of the church sat down with her and began to grill her with theological questions. And no more than they got seated, the pastor looked at her and said, well, how many are in the Godhead? She said, two. He said, two? Who? She said, the Father and the Son. And he said, well, what about the Holy Ghost? And she said, I've been meaning to ask you that very same question now for about 6 months. You see, many times we'll talk about what the Holy Ghost used to do in our midst and what the Holy Ghost used to do at Lake Village Assembly, but we won't let him come in here tonight and have his way in our lives right here and right now. But listen to me, Lake Village Assembly, I came by here tonight to remind you that his name is not I was that I was, but his name is I am that I am, and he is able to do above and beyond anything that you could ever hope or ask for. Amen? Judges 9:13, it says, wine cheers the heart of man. There's nothing that can cheer you up more than being filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 104, verse 15, it says, wine makes glad the heart of man. There's nothing that can make you more glad than being filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Hear me tonight. You can get excited at a ball game, but you get inspired by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't wear off the next day, and you don't wake up with a hangover. Can I hear an amen? Ecclesiastes 10:19, wine makes merry the heart of man. You know, there's nothing that can make you more merry than being filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 31:6, give wine to those that are of a heavy heart. You know, I've seen people, I knew that they were on their last leg, but they'd come to a service like this, and they'd come to a revival service where the power of the Holy Ghost was flowing, and they'd forget all about their physical problems. They'd forget all about their financial difficulty. They'd forget all about their emotional pain. And if you're here tonight going through a trial in your life, what you need to do is get in under the spout and get a fresh drink of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. But you can't put new wine into old bottles. Christ himself said so. Now, I know that in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about the unregenerate man. But I'm going to say something right here that some of you are not going to like this at all, but that's okay because that's not why I came this week. But you see, I believe that we have filled many of our churches up with unregenerated people. We have filled many of our churches up with people that have not truly been born again. They've only added Christ to what they already had, and then they continue to hang on to their sin habits. We'd bring them in. They'd come down to the front. They'd say a little prayer, something like this. God, forgive me of my sin, and I'll try not to do it again until in the morning. And they come in with their cigarettes, and they leave with their cigarettes. They come in with their alcohol, and they leave with their alcohol. They come in with their HBO. They come in with their rated R movies on HBO, and they leave with their rated R movies on on HBO. Friend, that is not the new birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when you become a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, you could like that or you could not like that, but I want you to hear me tonight. When I really gave my life to Jesus Christ, Pastor, I was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and I had a very expensive cocaine habit. So don't slide me this hogwash that you can't give up your sin habits. I want you to hear me tonight. God will take anything away from you that you'll hold out there in front of him, and God say, God, I'm sick and tired of having it. Would you get this off of me? Would you deliver me and set me free? Get this old bottle off of me. Give me a brand new bottle and pour in the new wine of the Holy Ghost. But listen to me. People used to come forward and pray through till they got the Holy Ghost. 4 or 5 of the big women in the church would lay down on top of them, and they'd pray through until it came on them. They called them seekers. Now, today, we don't have a lot of seekers, but boy, we get a lot of sneakers. We get a lot of people that sneak up to the front, and they'll pray for about 5 minutes. Then they'll go back and sit down and say, well, tonight just wasn't my night. Oh, my, I believe we're there again. Oh, you do know what the real job of an evangelist is, don't you? It's not to call you up to the front and say, my, your hair is gray. The real job of an evangelist is kind of like going to the doctor when you don't know what's wrong with you. The doctor will poke around on you until you say, ouch! Then the doctor says, that's the spot right there, and I'm going to start cutting. The job of a real evangelist is to preach until you get real, real quiet. Then he'll say, that's the spot right there, and I'm going to start cutting. So listen to me. The quieter you get tonight, the more I'm going to have to cut. I want you to know that I am not one of these preachers who believes that you can be filled with a spirit that is called holy and then hang on to your sin habits. I'm going to say that again. I want you to grab hold of that. I am not one of these preachers who believes that you can be filled with a spirit that is called holy and then continue to hang on to your sin habits. That does not line up with the Word of God. You know, we've got more old bottles sitting in the pews than we've ever had before. I'll say it to the preacher. I'll say it to the pew. I'll say it to anybody. If you've been saved for any length of time and you've still got sin habits, you haven't got the victory over yet, you need to go back to Calvary. You need to go back to the cross. You see, for what the blood covers and cleanses, the cross kills. Let me say that again. For what the blood covers and cleanses, the cross kills. It's a dual meaning. These old bottles, we sit in the pews in our old, unregenerate ways, claiming that we desire the power of the Holy Ghost to flow. You see, in a lot of cases, in the days of Jesus, these wine bottles, they were made out of leather, and the old leather gets hard, stiff, inflexible, and unusable. And I'm afraid that this passage of Scripture is not only symbolic of the unregenerate man, but it can also be symbolic of an individual in the church that is dead, dried up, inflexible, and unusable. And we'll sit in the pew with our old unregenerate way saying things like this. Well, I don't know why God doesn't just pour in the new wine. Hear me. Listen carefully. God is not going to pour new wine into an old bottle, and it will not be until we allow the oil of the Holy Ghost to soften our hearts. Only then will God pour new wine into a new bottle that is fit for the world to drink. But you see, in our churches, we get caught up in cheerleading worship. We come to the house of God with an attitude like this. I'll clap if you tell me to. I'll shout if you tell me to shout. I'll dance if you tell me to dance. Listen to me. If nobody ever tells me to dance and I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to give the Lord a Holy Ghost dance, I'll dance till my feet wear out. If nobody ever tells me to clap my hands and I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to clap my hands, I'll clap my hands till my hands wear out. If nobody ever tells me to shout and I feel like God wants me to shout, I'll shout till my lungs wear out. And it's time for Lake Village Assembly to say, God, would you come down here and strip me of this old bottle? Give me a brand new bottle so that you can pour in the new wine of the Holy Ghost. You see, all through the Bible, the Holy Ghost bypassed religion. He bypassed the Levitical priesthood. He bypassed the Pharisees. And he bypassed the Sadducees. You remember the Sadducees, don't you? They didn't believe in angels and didn't believe in the rapture. That's why they were sad, you see. Makes sense. But you see, the reason why you can't pour new wine into an old bottle is because these old bottles have leftover leaven, leftover yeast, which is always symbolic of sin. And when you try to pour new wine into an old bottle with that leftover leaven and that leftover yeast, it causes a violent reaction. It will cause that bottle to come apart at the seams. Paul put it this way: there's a war in my members. Some of you sitting right here, that's why there's a war going on in your life right now. Because trying to be filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost, at the same time, you hang on to things that you know are not pleasing to God. Trying to be filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost, at the same time, we're lukewarm without a prayer life. Trying to be filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost while we've got people in the pew that are sitting there that are involved in backbiting and gossiping and whispering. Trying to be filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost, at the same time, there's dissension, disunity. Trying to be filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost. At the same time, we've got in our church bodies men lusting after women, women lusting after men. And now in a lot of our churches, we've got men lusting after men and women lusting after women. The Kinsey Research Institute, have any of you heard of that? Said that 58% of all homosexual men have had sex with more than 1,000 partners. And we have the audacity to call homosexual perversion gay. Look here, there's not anything gay about homosexual perversion. You know why people in the church call homosexual perversion gay? Because we've been trying to put new wine into old bottles. On what we call Christian TV, one of our so-called up-and-coming prominent charismatic preachers, if I called his name, and I'm not going to do that, everybody in here would know who it is. He had a man on his television program that looked into the camera and said, I've been saved for more than 30 years, and the entire time that I've been saved, I have continuously struggled with homosexuality. It's an abomination that we would even allow something like that to be said on what we call Christian TV. The problem is we've been trying to put new wine into old bottles. Now, please do not misunderstand what I say here, because I do not have a hatred towards any religion. But we've talked about Catholics being filled with the Holy Ghost and then staying in the Catholic Church. Read my lips. You must be born again. That includes not bowing down to idols anymore. That includes not praying to Mary anymore. That includes not rattling the beads anymore. The problem is we've been trying to put new wine into old bottles, and it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to rise up and cry out and say, God, I'm tired of this same old stiff, full of leaven sin, moth corrupted, eaten up thing. Would you come down here, God, to Lake Village Assembly and baptize us in the new wine of the Holy Ghost with fresh new bottles? Get the old bottle off of us and give us a brand new bottle. God knows I love Pentecost, but a lot of what we call Pentecost today is not real Pentecost. You know, for the past 25 plus years, we have filled many of our churches up, our Pentecostal churches, with Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. I thank God that every one of you came. But the truth is, in many cases, we've done you a great disservice. We've toned down to your level. We've calmed it down so we wouldn't scare the visitors off. We saw visitors come through the door that we knew they were from non-Pentecostal churches, and we have an attitude like this. Oh, whatever you do, don't shout tonight, because we've got visitors here that are not used to that kind of activity, and we don't want to scare them off. And the visitors look around and they say, well, it's just as dead here as where I came from. I may as well go back to what I had. What we need to do is meet the visitor at the door and say, you know what? We're glad you came tonight. You may not understand everything that goes on here, so sit here till you do, because we've got new wine in a new bottle, and we're going to let God have his way. I don't know what church you left to be in this church here, but you didn't leave that other church because you liked it. If you liked that other church, you'd have stayed over there. We get so caught up in our religious, our denominational background. Mama was the Assembly of God. Grandma was the Assembly of God. I'm Assembly of God. I'm going to die Assembly of God. Grandpa was a Church of God. Grandma was a Church of God. Mama was a Church of God. I'm going to die. I'm going to die Church of God. And we call out our denominational background like it's some kind of a roll call to get into heaven. Look right here. Mama's bottle can't hold your new wine. And it's time for us to cry out tonight and say, God, come down here and strip me of the old bottle. Give me a brand new bottle so that you can pour new wine into a new bottle. Can I hear an amen? We get caught up in formality. And I'm talking to Pentecostals tonight. There's nobody that has more form than we Pentecostals. In the last days, Paul said that there would be a church that would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I've got news for you. The first church in Acts chapter 2 was Pentecostal. And the last church is going to be Pentecostal too. Because my Bible says, that which was, shall be. Now, you can like that or not like that. Gag, spit, chew, try to work your way around it. But I want you to hear me. It's time for us to say, God, get the old bottle off of me and give me a brand new bottle so you can pour new wine in. The new wine of the Holy Ghost. I love charismatics, but listen to me. They certainly didn't get anything from we Pentecostals. They came into our Pentecostal churches and they saw us talking about how saved we are and how God used to move in our church bodies and how the Holy Ghost used to be poured out. And they didn't know any better. So they said, we'll teach people to dance in shiny tight tutus and see if that does the job. We'll teach people to speak in tongues and see if that does the job. We'll teach people to do these things. But listen, what we need to do is realize there's a lost world out here dying for a true experience in the Holy Ghost and say, God, come down here and use Lake Village Assembly of God to make a difference and a spiritual impact in this community. Amen? Amen. You see, in the days of Jesus, the religious crowd had an attitude like this. Well, why should we want the new bottle? The old is better. You know why the old is better? Because you never get your cart shook up. The old is better because you never get your tater patch dug around in. You know how you know when you're around somebody who thinks the old is better, they'll say things like this. Well, the Lord touched me back in 1978. He knows what pew I'm fried to. If he wants to touch me again, he knows where I'm at. I found out a long time ago it's very hard to steer a parked car. I hear people say, well, Brother Todd, if you ever hear me shout, you'll know it's the Lord. You know, it would take a stiff, dry hide to say something like that. People say, well, I don't want to get in the flesh. Well, let me ask you a question. Whenever you lift your hands to the Lord, what are your hands still made out of? Flesh. And when the Holy Ghost comes on you and you begin to dance in the Spirit, what are your feet still made out of? Flesh. And when you give the Lord a shout of praise and you lift your voice, what are your vocal cords still made out of? Flesh. Lo and behold, there must be some flesh involved in this thing. I hear people say, well, if the Lord ever tells me in an audible voice to shout, then I'll shout. You know what? God's never told me in an audible voice to shout, but he's told me more than a dozen times in his word. He said, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Lift your voice in the sanctuary. He said, let the priest live righteous and let the saints shout aloud for joy. You ought to be able to cut loose and shout aloud for God, joy, and say, God, I'm tired of being dead. I'm tired of being dry. I'm tired of being drained. I'm tired of being stiff. I'm tired of being bored. God, would you come down here to Lake Village Assembly in this revival service tonight and get the old bottle off of me and give me a brand new bottle and baptize me in the new wine of the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. And I realize the power of the Holy Ghost wants to fill you up to overflowing with new wine. God wants to strip us of everything that's not pleasing to him, to get the old bottle off of us so he can pour new wine into a new bottle. In Jesus' name, bow your head, close your eyes, open your hearts all over the building.